Thank you for joining with us today here at Covenant of Grace Ministry. I'm Reverend Patrick Fawson, and we're studying the book of the Song of Solomon, and this is our second lesson in that series. We previously gave you an introduction and started in the first few verses of this book, and we're going to go on from verse 9. So if you get your Bibles out, we'll be turning there in a moment to verse 9. Now, I'm going to go back for just a moment and remind you introductorily, considering the interpretations of the book of Song of Solomon, because there's been some questions posted to me. We are looking at it from the most literal sense, because that's what I see. It is a relationship, and it is relationships that's being considered, and literal ones, I believe, considering Solomon and this Shulamite woman, and also possibly dovetailing with somebody who had been a personal friend who she had at first loved, but yet Solomon wanted her in his court and to be his wife. So there's a great love story here, but there's various people in the midst of the background. And the three ways that this book is interpreted in many settings is allegorical, with the setting of God in Israel, or Christ in his church and the bridegroom. Or you've got an idea that she never truly made Solomon her husband. He never totally won her over, and her heart still kept with this young man that she had loved previously. From going through the whole book of Song of Solomon, that does not seem to be the case. It seems to be that he won her over. She was his beloved wife, and they're speaking back to them themselves to and fro, seem to have such intimate dialogue that I can see nothing else other than this very close and lucid, beautiful, glorious, crazy relationship. And I hope that you will see that too as we go in the Word of God. But you'll see pictures of each one of these interpretations as we go along. But the most important thing to remember in the midst of this study is to understand the importance of intimacy with God, intimacy with one another, how important relationships are, and how to see things that maybe you're not seeing right now when it comes to your relationship with God, with your family, your friends, or the one you love. So in the midst of our study in this book, get that, okay? And understand the depth we're trying to look to. You know, I see a lot of people go through the motions sometimes as Christians because they get to learn it. They kind of know how it's supposed to be. And they, at some time and place, seem to not become past feeling. I don't want to say that. But they just don't have that intimacy or joyous, passionate level they used to have. Their relationship with God or one another becomes more stagnant. And that's why so many times churches and places need some kind of revival to get them back on track. But we shouldn't have to go from revival to revival or opportunity, quote, get excited again. We need to keep it alive and in motion, our relationship with God. And we can't make it dependent upon other people or other things. It's got to be us. We've got to stir up the gift that is within us. And so I hope that some of that you will see as we study out this book. And that's one of the things I thought of personally as a pastor. How many times a church sometimes go through these cycles. And yet, I think one of the things I'm finding as the years go on, and now it's been many years, that if a church really keeps in prayer, and like now we have once a month where we have a all-night prayer meeting. If you really keep it going, don't let it become redundant, and allow yourself to really open up to God and one another. The Lord can do some fabulous things. But when you kind of go through the motions, when you just kind of understand the rules, when you kind of can just, you know, hit it out of the ballpark without even trying, it seems, in your Christian relationship, it just, you know, you can lose the passion. But I don't want you to lose the passion. I want you to stir up the gift, and I want you to know, and you know, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I think I'm in love with him more than I ever have been in my entire life. And that's saying a lot because I've known the Lord for many years. But his love never fails. And his grace is sufficient for me, and it's sufficient for you. And even though I've done some stupid things in my life, He keeps loving me, keeps helping me. And if we can be like that to one another, we can encourage one another in love and see the work of the Lord be done. And don't give up. And don't give up on one another. What great things we can see God do in our lives. The only thing that you got to avoid is giving up. Because if you seek diligently the Lord, He'll meet with you every single time. Every single time. Let's get our Bibles out, and I'm going to look at verses 9 through 17 of the first chapter of the Song of Solomon. I don't know how far we're going to get, but I pray that what we do study will be a blessing to you today. I'm going to be reading from the Common English Version of the Bible. I picture you, my dearest, as a mare among Pharaoh's chariots. Lovely are your cheeks, adorned with ear hoops, your neck with beads. Let's make hoops of gold beaded with silver for you. With my king close by, my perfume filled the air. A sachet of myrrh is my love to me, lying all night between my breasts. A cluster of henna flowers is my love to me in the desert gardens of Engedi. Look at you, so beautiful, my dearest. Look at you, so beautiful. Your eyes are doves. Look at you, so beautiful, my love. Yes, delightful. Yes, our bed is lush and green. The ceilings of our chambers are cedars, our rafters, cypresses. They go back and forth here. This wonderful dialogue of love. This beautiful relationship that is developing. And they are taking in things about one another and expressing them. That are so intimate and intimate and portraying something so marvelous. And it is something we need to catch. Because so many times in our relationships, we do not see the beauty. We don't understand the intimacy. We don't see what God sees. And if we can but just take it in and consider and understand the beauty, how wonderful it could be. I wonder about creation in general. You know, you've gone to a beautiful park, let's say, where there is just great forestry, etc. The birds are singing. The sun is shining. The air is crisp. If you'll just but allow yourself to capture the moment and take it in, something can take place in you and you can understand the beauty of God's creation. But if you're just moseying along and it's just another trip and, hey, I've been here before, it's not going to mean anything to you. But here, obviously, in this passage of Scripture, they mean something to one another. I remember one time I was at a minister's conference and this dear brother was preaching, and I won't embarrass him by mentioning his name, but, you know, he sat there and he said, you know, sitting by you, Brother Lawson, and his wife was sitting next to me. He said, hey, I'm the most blessed man in this meeting because guess who I go home with? That woman. And he was just so in love with his wife. And I saw her turn red-faced, but she said, amen. And, you know, that kind of love and et cetera is beautiful. And they were so genuine and so real. He passed away at too young an age, and she has had to move on and remarry. And, you know, I don't want to compare the two. But I remember that relationship, that love. And they wrote some beautiful books, Consider Marriage, two of which we use in the ministry today. And Mac and Brenda, I'm going to mention their name, I guess, after all. I wasn't going to, but Mac and Brenda are just fabulous. And he was a great man of God. And she's continuing on. And the Lord has blessed me by getting to know them in the years. And in many ways, my relationship to God, I look at them and I see this great give and take. And in their books, they talk about that give and take. And they capture things that sometimes I don't see. And I know Mac has moved on, and I'm sorry I'm kind of digressing a bit here. But that has always kept with me, their relationship and what they shared with me and what I saw. And I want some of that in my life. When it comes to God, relationships, etc., I want some of that genuineness. I want some of that openness. I want some of that, hey, I can make mistakes, but hey, we're still together. You know, you're stupid, but I still love you kind of thing, you know? And it's like I'm jealous for that, just about. God is jealous after you. And that love can be your love today. Let's get back into the Word. I kind of went off there. But I want to share that with you. The object of the woman's love and attention is this man, Solomon. And she expresses it in very vivid ways, just as he does. His first words in the song make a strange comparison, or at least so it may seem to the modern reader. He compared his bride to a mare harnessed to one of the chariots of Pharaoh in verse 9. For a woman living at the time of Solomon, this would have been quite a compliment to her splendor and the manner of which she carried herself. Horses were considered the most majestic of all animals at their time. Moving from comparison to description, the lover expressed how the young woman's cheeks and neck were dazzling as she enhanced her beauty with earrings and necklaces in verse 10. Since in Solomon's day horses were sometimes decorated in fancy ways, it may have been the woman's jewelry, similar to a horse's decorations, that first made him think of comparing her to a mare in a harness. Impressed by her beauty, he promised to fashion for her even more jewelry, such as gold earrings studded with silver. Now, man, I want you to know something. You can't go wrong if you get your woman some jewelry. Amen. Hallelujah. Or the person you love, the person you care for, or anyone. Jewelry seems to be something that is precious. And this man wanted to adorn her in that which would serve her best. With the next verse, the scene shifts to the royal palace. The young woman described how her perfume gave forth its fragrance while the king was at dinner. In verse 12, she referred to him as her lover, a term along with love or beloved she would use in some way 27 times in this psalm. 27 times. That's a lot. Some interpreters deem that in Solomon's day, the expression had a different, less romantic meaning than it does today. For that reason, these terms are sometimes translated friend or companion or my dear. But in whatever case or form they were in, it was one of intimacy. Let me talk a bit about fragrances for a moment. Okay? The scents were widely used in the time of Solomon that they're mentioned here in this passage. First of all, perfume in general, or nard or spikenard, was a fragrant and expensive ointment from a plant that grew in India in the ancient Near East. It was believed to be a love charm. That was the perfume, or nard, or spikenard. Myrrh, which is mentioned in verse 13. It's from the gum from trees in Arabia, Abyssinia, and India. Prized in the ancient world and valuable in international trade, it was used for incense and for perfume on special occasions, such as when Esther and other girls were prepared to meet the king of Persia. In Esther 2, verse 12, it mentions that. It was also used for embalming corpses. Then henna is mentioned here in this passage, in verse 14, I believe. And is a shrub from Israel. The leaves were used to produce an orange-red dye used in the Near East to color hair, hands, and feet. The blossoms of the shrub are quite fragrant. These fragrances, these perfumes, they meant something. And they just brought even more so a sense of just enrapture between these two individuals. You know, the Bible tells us that, you know, the Lord and his relationship to us can sometimes be like that, and that there is a sometimes like fragrance in the presence of the King. And that fragrance, that beautiful understanding of being in His presence and being bathed in the beauty and the glory of His majesty, is something we all covet and desire after. I can't tell you how many times I've cherished being lost in the presence of God. His Holy Spirit seemed to be like great perfume or fragrance going off, and you just get captured in the moment and you just want to stay there and never leave. How many times I've been in fellowship and in the presence of God, just worshiping in His Spirit for hours and being lost and losing track of time. It doesn't matter. So it must have been like in this relationship between Solomon and the Shulamite woman. When was the last time you got lost in the presence of God? When was the last time you just sang and praised and worshiped and allowed the fragrance of His beauty within you to just be blossoming? And you gave forth that same kind of effervescence as you begin to worship Him, and He knew, oh, that's my beloved, that's my bride. It should be that way more and more each and every day, the closer you get to Him. And you should want to adorn yourself with that. And your praise is like that. Your prayers are that. And as you pray and you worship Him, it is like a sweet-smelling offering going up to before God. And He says, hey, somebody's worshiping me. Somebody's loving me. Somebody is sharing time with me. And when you do that and your prayers and your praise goes forth, God just envelops you with His love. Such as a love as intimate as Solomon and the Shulamite woman. The young king responded to this fragrance, her beauty, etc., in so many ways, and had so many exchanges. He was so quick in his heart, and also considers her beauty in such a way of tenderness and purity. It mentions in verse 15, tenderness and purity. There should be something so pure about our relationship with God that touches not just He, but those around about us. A purity, almost an innocence, between us and the Lord. And with our relationships one with another, there should be an honesty and a purity as we share one with another. And that will lead to greater strength in your relationships one with another. And that honesty will bring about such an ability for you to be able to trust one another to such a length that you will attain and see greater things accomplished in your relationships. The young girl loved Him so much and proclaimed of His handsomeness and His charm. When was the last time your honey talked about your handsomeness and your charm? Maybe your handsomeness sometimes, but maybe not the charm. You know, how you handle yourself with your woman is important, or the person you love. And you know something? We sometimes take it for granted after we're married how important that is, especially to the woman. You know, you open her door before you get married, but after you get married, you quit opening her door anymore. Hello? Little things mean a lot. Cherish that person. Care for that person. Your husband, your wife, your best friend, your neighbor, etc. Show an ability to handle yourself within your relationships in a way that shows that it's important what that person perceives or understands about you. And not that you're just going along with things in life and saying, hey, you're just lucky I'm here. You're just lucky I'm helping you out. Oh, you're just lucky. No, no, no. Show some consideration. Show some consideration. You know, the setting that they mention about the bedchamber and the beauty of it is so glorious, and the house was that they lived with these cedars and firs, so magnanimous. You know, the setting of the story has a lot to say about the strength of the relationship in this beautiful picture and how they paint it. And you know something? The setting that you have within your life and how you care for the things of God are so very important. So many times we do not consider precious the things of God. We take them for granted. And so we don't honor them the way we should. And I want you to know, whether it's the tabernacle of God or whether it's the things the Lord has given you, or whether it is just wearing the right clothes on a Sunday morning, it should be special to you how you handle yourself and what you perceive of in the presence of Almighty God. Amen. I remember one of my pastors, his wife, Pastor Ellis, his wife, wouldn't allow me to even put the Bible on top of anything or anything on top of it. The Bible had its own, when she was around, you better make sure that the Bible had its own special place in your life and in your household. Anything otherwise was to almost like desecrate it, like the Holies of Holies being desecrated, or the Ark of the Covenant not being respected. So was the Word of God to her. How you cherish the Word of God, how you handle your temple, how you handle the things of God and the tabernacle that you go worship at in the house of God, they're important. Whether it is you personally being the temple of God, the house of God physically, or, you know, those things that God has granted you, you need to show respect and you need to honor what God has given you. Let's look at chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I'm a rose of Sharon Plain, a lily of the valley. Like a lily among thorn bushes, so is my dearest among the young women. Like an apple tree among the wild trees, so is my lover among the young men. In his shade I take pleasure in sitting, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. He has brought me to the house of wine. His banner raised over me is love. Sustain me with raisin cakes, strengthen me with apples, for I'm weak with love. His left arm is beneath my head. His right embraces me. Make a solemn pledge, daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or wild deer. Don't arouse love until it desires. Listen, it's my lover. Here he comes now, leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My lover is like a gazelle or a young stag. Here he stands now, outside our wall, peering through the windows, peeking through the lattices. As the maiden and her lover continued their dialogue, she compared herself to two flowers. The rose of Sharon, one which was a wild flower such as crocus, narcissus, or daffodils that grew in the ancient Israel, located south of Mount Carmel. And Sharon was a low, swampy, coastal plain, known to be rich in vegetation and flowers. The lilies of the valley, she mentioned, probably was one of a wide range of flowers with a beautiful appearance in the midst of the fields. So you have these two flowers, the rose of Sharon and the wildflowers, all there, all having its own place in the scenario. Picking up the image she had created, her lover responded by saying that she was more attractive than any lily among thorns, and that she stood out from among all the maidens of the land in verse 2. Does the one you love stand out amongst them all to you? Or has your heart grown cold? Does your love for God stand out for you? Or do you just treat God like you do anything else in your life, and it's important, but not really the most important? How we set aside the one we love and how we set aside God in our relationships, whether it is with the one we love or with God in that intimate most relationship with the Most High, is important and integral. We need to be understanding of the place of honor and respect that God and the person we love has in our relationship. With them, it's got to be exclusive. For them, it's got to be precious. For them, it's got to be ultimate. God and the person you love knows when it's not. God and the person you love, whether it's your husband, your wife, whether it's your best friend, etc., people you care about, they know when they're really not that important. When maybe they've just become like anybody else. They know the difference. Either time is not being spent like it should. You're not taking that time to take care of yourself amongst them, whether it's in preparation and prayer, whether it's with caring for yourself and cherishing the time you have with somebody, etc. I think you know where I'm going with this here a little bit. You're not really taking it as important to be your best for the person you love, whether the person you cherish in your life as a wife or companion or God himself. You're just getting through it. You're just spending that time that, quote, you're supposed to spend with them. Oh, it's my date night. I'll just do my best with it. Hey, God and that person you love knows the difference. Amen. When it's real, when it's precious, when it's beautiful, or you just go through the motions. I almost want to pause and spend more time with this, but I could take all day, so I better just keep on moving on. Let me see, what should we look at here? She talks about the groom's love, almost as fruit. She asked for raisins and apples because she said, I am faint with love, in verse 5. This request was probably a disguised way of asking for her lover's caresses and embraces, which she described in the next line of the song. Before she had asked for his kisses, now she longed for his embrace. Intimacy. Those kisses, etc., meant something to her. She cherished them. You need to cherish the one you love, even as you cherish God. At this point, she apparently realized that she was so overwhelmed by her passion, so filled with love and joy, that it was best to pause so as to not get carried away. Though betrothed to the king, she didn't want to ruin their love by moving it along too quickly. She knew she must wait to be married before having relations with her husband. Thus, she decided to restrain her passion while she still could. This realization then apparently prompted her to give some advice to other maidens, appealing to nature, namely gazelles and does. As a witness of her oath, she said, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires, verse 7. In other words, love has its own great power, and the woman should not stimulate it or encourage it unless it could be fulfilled in its proper context. You know, there's a place for everything. And when love needs to be aroused and there is that place where you can truly see that love come forth, it needs to be blessed and it needs to be nurtured. But then when there's that time in between or that time when it's not appropriate, you need to just take what you can in that moment of intimacy and thank God for that. But then, hey, and with the Lord, there's a time for everything as well and in our relationship with him. And there's a time of closeness and getting near the Lord, etc. But if you're not ready to go to the next level with God and truly get into that place of being exposed before him, being close to him, being truly holy before the Lord, don't go there. Did you hear me? Don't go there. Because God will see you so transparently and wants to share his love with you, even as the most intimate setting of the marriage chamber. I want you to know today that God is challenging us through the book of the Song of Solomon, in our relationships, in our determination to serve and honor him, and this intimacy and this honesty is going to go on throughout the book of the Song of Solomon. But in closing with this lesson, I want to stop here for a moment at what we just talked about, because it's important. Each one of us grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. There's steps we take before we take upon another aspect of our Christian lifestyle. In our relationships one to another, as time and such develops and we learn about the one we love and we cherish the one we love, etc., everything has its own place in time. And being able to appreciate that and consider that is important. Because too many times we move on too quickly, or too many times we take something without really understanding the openness and the honesty of it. And we need to understand and evaluate our lives and where we are in our relationships so that we can begin to see things clearly. Because maybe there's something I've missed along the way. I've tried to skip some bases. Or maybe there's some things with God where I really am holding back from Him. And here I am trying to enter into this most intimate relationship with Him. And I can't really do so because I can't be honest with God. But you can't go boldly before His throne of grace unless you're willing to just open up and realize He is Papa. He's Lord, and He understands things just the way it is. God, our Father, understands, and the Lord wants to cherish us as His bride. But where are we at in our relationship with Him? How many times have you gone before God and prayed for something and realized, hey, I don't have the prerogative, the privilege, or I'm not in the place for this right now? I have. You know, there are some things I had to clean up before I could get to that place, say, okay, God, I'm ready now. And it could be with you as well. And there could be things in your relationships that you need to clean up and work on before you can go to that next level or to really see that thing happen. But if you do, if you'll take time to be holy, if you'll take time in His presence, if you'll take time and take in reciprocally from the person you love and God in relation, those things that are important, and fill in the void. Great things can happen as you move on, and that passionate, loving relationship with God and your intimacy and your different levels of friendship with one another can blossom to what it can be. There's no shortcuts. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. There's no shortcuts. I do know that different people in the body of Christ grow up at a different level sometimes than others. I have some people in the body of Christ, man, they get it right away and they start moving on with God and boom. And then I have other people in the body of Christ and man, they just don't seem to ever get it. And I'm always working with them. But I don't give up, just like God has never given up on me. And I want them to share a lifetime of love with God. And I want them to get their relationships right and I want them to get their situations correct in those undertakings they're dealing with in their everyday life. God loves you. He loves me. And I sense something in the Holy Spirit here that this is a very important part of this lesson today. That we've talked about some wonderful things, but this place of going to the next level of passion and relation with God and, or with one another needs to be introspectively looked at, considering where we're at, the foundations we can build, and the hope for tomorrow. Because when they're handled correctly, something awesome is going to happen between you and the Lord and with those you care for. So pray about that and consider that in your time of prayer and meditation. But I think we better close with this because I just feel kind of overwhelmed in the Holy Spirit considering what we've just discussed. And if I've hopped, skipped, and jumped a little bit or kind of not been perfectly not in sync with the program in this lesson, I hope that you got the word that the Lord wanted to share with you. And we'll go on next time share. We'll probably go back a little bit in chapter 2, but we'll go on from where we have and work towards verses 8 through 15 in our next lesson. But I pray that God minister to you as He's ministered to me in this lesson today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, thank You for coming to be with us in this lesson. And thank You for sharing with us Your word. I pray that there is something I said today that has been able to strike a chord and help somebody in their walk with God with their friends, with one another, with the love of their life, etc. I pray that God, you would minister to them and give them wisdom and look at the book of the Song of Solomon with understanding that lessons of relationship are coming at them in such a wonderful and beautiful way, and that if they will just open up their eyes and open up their hearts and begin to feel what God wants them to feel and understand what God wants them to understand and see in their friends and the ones they love that which God wants them to understand, they are going to be so blessed because of it. I pray, oh Lord, that you would heal relationships. I pray that you would mend broken walls. I pray that you would touch hearts that need healing. I pray that you would build bridges where bridges need to be built. I pray that, God, you would help us to be able to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God and be where we need to be. And relationships that are good for us are good for us. Relationships that maybe we need to sever. Those that we need to build upon, we need to build upon. Those who we cherish, let us cherish them, God, if it be the Father's will. And I pray, God, that you'd give us understanding. Lord, it's one thing to have knowledge, but Lord, I need understanding. God, I pray that you'd give understanding to people, considering where they're at, and to help them in every endeavor of life, and to see God come down and bathe them. Oh, Father, bathe them with your love. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I hope you got something that is good today. And Lord bless you. And continue with us, I pray, next time in our study in the Song of Solomon.